Irritation. Mary Baker Eddy provided 26 Bible lesson topics designed to be read and studied twice a year. The topics covered in these 26 different weekly Bible lessons cover everything possible that is needed no matter what situation one may be faced with. A thorough study is also appropriate if one is just in a systematic study for spiritual advancement without a focus on a particular problem. No matter what the topic is, the one entitled God the Only Cause and Creator is always applicable to every situation. In considering the topic of irritation, one may find it helpful to refer to an article by Dr. Francis J. Fluno entitled Criticism. Dr. Fluno was selected by Mary Baker Eddy to be one of her students and was also appointed by her to be a lecturer and tour the United States in delivering these lectures. Keep in mind the mode of transportation was very limited. The time frame was in the late 1800s, and even the railroads had not completed a network that included all areas of the United States. When one studies his writings, it will become obvious that they are of great value. One article that seems to be very appropriate for the title of irritation is one entitled Criticism. Following are a few words from that article. Criticism is the worst thing that you can get into your thoughts. It is one of the keys to perdition, because it leads there. It leads to all unkindness. It leads into ingratitude. It leads into everything but love for your neighbors and friends. Mary Baker Eddy stated that she had her greatest healings when she got Mary out of the way. That could easily be broadened to basically state that when she got personality out of the way. If one did that, it would be impossible to criticize anything that anyone did. We could certainly have a very serious distaste for an action, but it cannot be connected to a person. In other words, evil must be separated from a connection with any personality. Forgive, and forgiveness is another related topic that one may want to consider in addressing an irritation. In looking at the 1828 dictionary, it is very interesting that Noah Webster considers an offense to be separate and distinct from an individual. He states forgive as to pardon, to remit as an offense or debt, to overlook an offense and treat the offender as not guilty, The original and proper phrase is to forgive the offense, to send it away, to reject it. That is, not to impute it or put it to the offender. And he states that, but by an easy transition, we also use the phrase to forgive the person offending. Notice how he uses the word transition. That's not the original intent of the word forgive or forgiveness. Dr. Fluno was so strong in his statement about criticism that it led me to review the definition of perdition. This word is defined as to ruin, entire loss, utter destruction, loss of the soul, or of final happiness in a future state, future misery, or eternal death. The comment by Noah Webster is, if we reject the truth, we seal our own perdition. This led me to think about the word kamikaze. Kamikaze is the word that was coined by the Japanese to mean that it was not only a loss of an individual, but also referred to the loss of equipment. So you could say this is a kamikaze plane or a kamikaze pilot. And again, that was mind control because they had convinced the pilot that he should sacrifice his life for his country. It wasn't just a matter of risk. It was entering into the event with the full intention of not having any chance of survival. If we compare these things that I've mentioned back to what Dr. Fluno said about criticism, and I shall read that again, criticism is the worst thing that you can get into your thoughts. It is one of the keys to perdition, because it leads there. It leads to all unkindness. It leads into ingratitude. It leads into everything but love for your neighbors and friends. I think that is the most comprehensive statements that one could dwell on to realize how important it is not to do it. Mary Baker Eddy again said her most important healings were when she got Mary out of the way. Personality. That means personality of everything and everyone. It's certainly easy to connect irritation to all of these words. Once we appreciate that we are destroying ourselves, we are being a total kamikaze by criticizing. And remember, Jesus said, thinking it is as bad as doing it. So not just verbally criticizing, but even thinking about someone doing something wrong is not the business we want to be in. It is suggested that one listen to the entire article on criticism. It's only about probably 3 or 4 minutes. And it's also offered on the website in text form. It reminds me of what it says in the Bible about something really important that you do not want to forget. It said you nail it on your entrance to the door to your home, and you fasten it to your forehead. I presume that means like something hanging down in front of your eyes. It looks like the definition of criticism by Dr. Flunow is one of those things. In fact, that may be the only thing we have to think about. And we have to include ourselves in that. Because if we're criticizing ourselves, we're criticizing God. If we're criticizing someone else, we're criticizing God. Genesis 1 states that man is made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, when we look in the mirror, we better be seeing God. We better be seeing an image that has the qualities that are being thought, spoken, and acted out. The qualities of God. That must be the focus, no matter what comes one's way. As Mrs. Eddy said in her article on vision, or really it was a letter to one of her students, she said, "Can you focus no matter what comes your way?" Obviously, focusing on God, focusing on truth. Truth, life, and love. The incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle. Also, one must remember that the chapter on Christian Science Practice, which is chapter number 12 in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, begins with the story of Mary Magdalene. And Jesus was being hosted by a Pharisee named Simon. And it's an example of forgiveness and love and humility. She washed Jesus' feet. He forgave her. And also, when one thinks about forgive, one could easily connect that to meaning to give gratitude. Instead of thinking about condemnation, giving gratitude for seeing a more spiritual view. I think it was Elisha, or maybe it was Elijah, that was surrounded by supposedly 10,000 men from the king that were sent there to capture him. How about that for odds? The king thought it would take 10,000 people to capture one man. And when the servant was concerned, when he opened the door and saw this mass of people, chariots and warriors, that were there to arrest him and capture him and deliver him to the king, that he told his servant, or rather he prayed to God, he says, "Please open the eyes of my servant so that he may see that there's more with us than with them." So the correct vision is what we're talking about. When Mary Baker Eddy stated that she stopped several times a day to make sure that her thought was not wandering into never, never land of finding fault or seeing anything other than good, that was vision. She wanted to make sure she was looking through the lens of spirit. She wanted to make sure that no matter what came her way, she could focus on truth. An army was being subjected to mind control, and their commanding officer said, "Think about something that you know is true and keep your thought focused on that." And he recommended mathematical tables, thinking about 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4, and so forth. And he says, if you do that, they cannot manipulate your mind. In Christian Science, we have a much better thing to focus on, and very easy. We can consider one of the definitions or several of the definitions of God provided in Science and Health. Her definition in Recapitulation, which is a summary of the first 13 chapters, she states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. In the glossary, she says God, the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. Also in the glossary, she provides the definition of good. Good, God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. So if we're thinking about any of those four words, the four omni words, it has to be related to goodness, no evil, not even an inkling of a variance from 100% good, 100% God, 100% spirit. Scientific statement of being. Most people in Christian Science can say that in their sleep with one hand or both hands tied behind their back. It's all mental. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. One could think about substance. She states also in the chapter on Recapitulation, what is substance? Under the subtitle of Spiritual Synonyms, she says, substance is that which is eternal and incapable of discord and decay. Truth, life, and love are substance, as the Scriptures use this word in Hebrews. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Spirit, the synonym of mind, soul, or God, is the only real substance. The spiritual universe, including individual man, is a compound idea reflecting the divine substance of spirit. If we rely on mortal mind, we will never be sincere about cleaning up thought and reforming thought, speech, and action. Because mortal mind does not like to change. The ego built into mortal mind is overpowering unless one is tenacious. It is common for those working in a corrupt government are committing treason and caught in the act or proven to be guilty after the fact that they are subject to mind control. This mind control is so effective that it is common for the guilty ones to not be cathartic but would rather live and die in perdition. And of course, they don't even know what they're doing. They have been so hypnotized and mesmerized that they talk as if they had a script from which they were reading. As has been stated by wise philosophers of the past, and quoted by Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health and other writings, we experience our thoughts. What we're thinking is what we see. What we see is what we experience. And if we are weak and do not guard our thoughts, we don't stand porter at the door of thought, then we accept into our thoughts what we see that is there produced by others. It could be a universal belief, it could be a collective belief, or it could be an individual belief. Like Mr. Winslow says, imagine yourself in a room with a telephone and a radio, and the radio is broadcasting one way, doesn't have any ears, no way to talk to it effectively. The telephone is duplex, where both parties can be talking at the same time. When it rings, don't pick it up, because it is a symbol of mortal mind making a suggestion. Instead, focus on listening to the radio and think about that as being connected to KOG, which is the station connected to God. KOG meaning the kingdom of God. Like some of these definitions that were just reiterated, we must keep our thought on true facts, on reality, not fable, not fantasy, not guesswork. We must focus on 2 × 3 = 6. There is no room in mathematics for error, because it doesn't work. Only if it's true is the right result going to be provided. Irritation can be eliminated completely if we focus on the line of thinking that has been addressed in this recording. If one desires to work on a particular problem to reveal its nothingness, Frederick L. Rawson is one of the finest practitioners of all time, and he wrote a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. There are examples of 1,315 different problems that one might face throughout their life. Not all of them, but it's an encyclopedia that probably includes everything one can think of. And in that book, he explains very, very briefly about the symptom, or the name for the symptom, or both. But in brevity, he doesn't dwell on that. As Mary Baker Eddy states, don't be concerned about the details of the symptom, but often the healing can come about quicker if you identify it by name. And that's basically what he does. And she also says that we have to discover that error and we have to identify the counterfact to it. And that's what this book is about, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer by Frederick L. Rawson. He gives the spiritual counterfact so that one can work with that and individualize it for the particular situation. And you must leave personality totally out of it. He makes a very big point about that. It's a very quick identification of the problem. Otherwise, the focus is strictly on God and the kingdom of heaven. But identifying the specific counterfact to negate what appears to be the symptom. And we also have to keep in mind that what appears to be the symptom may be totally unrelated to the real cause in human belief. It could be a decoy. Evil is very deceptive. We might think that the evil is one thing because it's showing up as a symptom that seems to be visible and obvious. In some way, it'll be seen, heard, felt, tasted, or smelled. But that could be very deceptive as to what the real problem is. And if one wants to learn more about the synonymous terms for God that have been noted several times in this recording, one of the best books that the Institute feels one can study is the one written by Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. It is titled Your Divinity Revealed, and there's one chapter on each of the seven synonymous terms for God. Very fine. It's fun to read. It shows the connection between one word and another that are terms for God, and all the related subterms, attributes. Everything that's been mentioned is available on the website, and it's presently all free, and you can download 24/7. There's also a substantial amount of music that is all oriented to Bible verses, includes Mary Baker Eddy's poems that were put to music. the seven, one of which is always included in church services each week. There's many seminars and books in audio form, MP3s. And of course, the download of the text in PDF form. No matter what the irritation is, we must remember the thing that Mr. Rawson utilized when he healed a man that had a load of rocks dumped on him and covered him up totally. Obviously, it was an accident. But he said five words. Obviously, he had a very thorough understanding of exactly what those words meant. And he had had many, many healings. In fact, he's the one that discovered retroactive healing. That means that he was able to overcome not only space, which is fairly common with Christian Science practitioners because usually they're not with the patient, but not only space, but also time, where he could be involved in bringing about the healing before someone requested his assistance. Erasing time. Retroactive healing. Another way he terms it is treating backwards. All the references on all of these people that have been mentioned are on the website. The five words referred to that Mr. Rawson used, and obviously with very firm conviction and understanding, were these. There is nothing but God. Amen.